Chapter 6. The fleet remained in orbit around Prismatica for 6 days, gathering the crystal forests from the Mechanicum silos and packing the hold of 5 captured bulk carriers with glittering cargo. Fulgrim demanded every shard, every powdered fragment, and every spire that could be taken from the world, though he gave no clue as to what purpose he intended to turn this haul of captured minerals. In those 6 days, the Emperor's children made sport of those few prisoners they had taken, using them in ways too terrible to describe before passing them on to the next company. Lucius fought solitary duels in the last remnants of the crystal forests, dancing with his reflection and matching its every thrust, cut, and parry with another dazzling move. He was as close to being the perfect swordsman as it was possible to be, possessing the ideal balance between attack and defense, flawless footwork, and a pathological need to feel pain. Such was the weakness of most opponents. They feared to feel pain. Lucius had no such fear, and only the warrior capable of the most berserk fury would stand any chance against him. Such a warrior cared nothing for his own life, and would only stop fighting when he was dead. Lucius remembered the sight of a battle captain of the World Eaters on Istvan III, watching as he tore through his own warriors like a man possessed. To fight such a warrior would be the true test of Lucius's skills, for as much as he liked to believe himself to be unbeatable, he knew that was not the case. There was no such thing as an unbeatable warrior. There would always be someone faster or stronger or luckier. But instead of fearing to meet such an opponent, Lucius ached for it. His reflection advanced and retreated with him, matching him movement for movement, and no matter how fast his attacks, how lightning quick his ripostes, he could never breach his mirrored defences. His swords moved with greater and greater speed, each attack faster than the last. He moved quicker than any other living swordsman, his blades forming a shimmering sphere of silver around his body, an intricate sword dance that would have been madness to interrupt.
"So self-involved, swordsman," said Julius Caeseron, emerging from behind a jagged stump of crystal. "You would be left behind here?"
Lucius stumbled, his swords clanging together with a resonant clang of lethal edges. His Terran blade squealed in protest as the Lairan edge notched it with a gleeful shriek of metal on metal. Lucius turned his stumble into a spin, and both blades whistled as they cut the air and came to rest on the first captain's throat.
"That was not wise," he said.
Caeseron batted the blades away and laughed with a gurgle of frothed fluids in his throat. He turned his back on Lucius and gestured towards the ruined Mechanicum facility, where the last of the container shuttles hauled its heavily laden bulk from the blasted rock of the planet's surface. Almost nothing remained of the crystal forests, the horizon stripped bare and the silos torn down as they were emptied. Marius Verosian's screaming squads blasted what little was left standing to shredded atoms with jangling blasts of interlocking blast waves of disharmonious sonics. Soon, it would be as though this place had never existed. Lucius jogged after the first captain.
"You think I wouldn't kill you, Caeseron?"
he asked, angered at the warrior's casual dismissal of his threat.
"You are a viper, Lucius. But even you're not that stupid."
Lucius wanted to snap at Caeseron, but he knew it would be pointless to antagonize the man. The first captain would leave him behind without a second thought, and barely a glimmer of emotion.
"The Primarch has been thorough,"
said Lucius, sheathing his swords and watching the last container shuttle ascend on a rippling haze of struggling engines.
"What does he want with it all?"
"The crystals."
"Of course, the crystals," said Lucius.
Caeseron shrugged, the matter of no consequence to him.
"The Primarch desired them, so we took them. What he intends to do with them is of no interest to me."
"Really?" said Lucius. "And you call me self-involved?"
"And you do care?"
countered Caesaron.
I think not. Your world begins and ends with you, Lucius, just as mine concerns only what will allow me to taste the greatest bliss and darkest raptures. We exist to gratify all our desires to the extreme edges of sensation. But we do it in service to a power greater than any of us, greater even than any Primarch.
Even the Phoenician? Or the War Master?
Luminous beings they are. But they are mere vessels for a power older than you or I can imagine.
How do you know this? Asked Lucius.
There is wisdom in suffering, swordsman,
said Caesaron.
Istvan V showed me that. The bliss of pain and the ecstasy of agony are how we offer our devotions. You have not known true suffering, because you are weak. You still cling to notions of what we were, not what we have become.
Lucius bristled with anger at Caesaron's casual dismissal of his own pain and talents, but said nothing, eager to learn more of what the first captain had to say.
The Lord Fulgrim has known the greatest pain this galaxy has to offer, and he knows the truths at its heart,
said Caesaron, and Lucius detected a change in his rasping tones, a tremor of doubt.
Since Istvan, he has shown me such sights as I would never have dreamed, pain and wonder, rapture and despair.
Was it possible? Did Caesaron suspect the same as he? Lucius risked a sidelong glance at Caesaron, but the warrior's skull had been so thoroughly mangled and rebuilt that it was impossible to read his features. A thunderous crash of atomizing metal washed over them as the last silo toppled to the ground, and its destroyers shrieked as the deafening noise drove spikes of pleasure through their brains. Marius Verosian marched towards them as a last stormbird dropped through the street corona of a rainbow sky. Lucius wanted to find the sky beautiful, to be moved by the vivid colours and the rarefied blends of hues he had never seen. He felt empty, and wanted nothing more than to leave this world. It had nothing left of interest, and anger touched him at the thought that he was bereft of stimulation.
A grand finale,
said Marius, the words mangled by his overstretched jaws. Lucius wanted to ram his sword into Verosian's chest just to feel something. He resisted the urge, only with difficulty.
I despise this place,
said Lucius, wanting nothing more than to be gone from this mundane rock of a world.
I have already forgotten it, said Caesaron.